Grady, Reverend Connie Beth Grady.
Good morning. Is everybody happy?
Yes. Then
let's show it. And I want to say, well, I'm doing a little, I love you.
I love you.
Now, I want to tell you something. That's one of the first lessons I ever learned when I went to class with my Virginia. Whenever anybody new came out, she'd come out and ask her name. She'd say, I love you. And most people wouldn't say anything. And she'd say, and maybe they'd eventually say, I like you too. And she'd say, wrong answer, wrong answer. She wouldn't stop till they said, I love you too. Do you know, there is some people are so afraid to open their hearts to love or to even say, I love you. And just saying it, just verbalizing it, absolutely changes something about and around us. To be honest with you, I don't know what I'm going to say today, so we'll just find out. But I was thinking about how did my life change? Because we all grow up with discontents. And there's some time in our life when we're in a situation, I'm sure I'm not the only one, where we don't know how we got in there and we don't know how to get out and we think it's beyond our control, right? And sometimes we might not look very happy. But one thing I found out in my life and through meeting wonderful people in my life, I found what works for one human being will work for another human being. And that is the only difference is, do you really want to be better? Do you really want to be happy? Do you really want to put in the effort? Do you really want to change? And what are the discontents and the somberness all about? Are you getting benefit from it? What we don't realize at times is when, however we have our demeanor, whatever our belief system is, whatever we believe is going to happen to us, it's like going to a restaurant and putting in an order. For instance, I was telling Scott earlier today, it's like I ask, maybe I order a hamburger, and I think, but I really meant hot dog, and I didn't say that. What are they going to give me? They're going to give me a hamburger. And then I might be upset because I didn't get what I wanted. When in all aspects of life, whatever we're going through, if we're not happy with it, we can change. And believe me, I know it. I've changed lots. And I will continue to change. And whenever we're discontent and down and sad and depressed, you know what that means? That means there's something better out there for you. But you have to decide you want it. We always have to ask and make the change ourselves. I was so discouraged at one time in religion. So much so, I really didn't know what I believed in. And so I stopped going, period. Because what I was listening, yeah, there were some days I could get a little insight, but the way the people behaved and the way the fear and everything, I just knew that God, there could not be a God, if God is supposed to be love, that was up there judging every little thing that I did. Come on, people, we know better than that. I knew better than that. I couldn't go along with that, but I was the oddball out. You've all been the oddball out, I'm sure. So then I find this beautiful place where they're talking about a spiritual path. And they're talking about finding the path within is where you'll find happiness. Well, before you can find the path within, you have to stop. And you have to be mindful of what you're thinking. And you have to be mindful of what your emotions are. You have to be mindful of what makes you sad, what makes you happy, all of these things that I discovered for myself. Then you have to be mindful for the people around you. Which ones are belittling you? Which ones do you have to withdraw from and not be your personality? There are all kinds, all indicators around us that say, You're thinking wrong, you're doing wrong, you're going wrong. That's why you're so unhappy. So the next thing is, you have to think. In the Bible it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So how are you thinking? Well, we learn from our elders many times. My little grandmother, most of the time she was so happy. But she would take one day a week and grieve and be miserable over all the people she lost. I mean, it would be sun up to sun down. She'd rock in front of this little potbelly stove, and she would talk about this one she missed and that one she missed and this one she missed. And the air got so thick. My brother used to say, oh, Grandma's got those pursy little lips. It's going to start soon. And it was on one of those days that she had a stroke. And that ended it. You see, you would see her face getting red. You could see the blood pressure going up. You could see that she was making her own miseries by reliving the ugliness of the people that had gone on, instead of looking at it in glory and say, I'm so glad you were in my life for when you were in it. We can learn from other people. We can also learn from ourselves. I had a little aunt, and she decided when my parents were killed that God called her to be a minister. And I tell the story many times, although it wasn't Methodist. It was much stricter. It was Wesleyan Methodist. And, you know, in her own way, in her own belief, you know, everybody has goodness. I didn't believe her way either. But the difference is she was very happy about it. And in her life, her children, she had five children. They had all grown and gone. And she was very lonely. So she took in four foster children, all brothers and sisters. And she soon found out that the kids got taken away from their parents because they were alcoholics. It wasn't long before she decided, well, I'm going to go in that tavern, and I'm going to order a Coke, and I'm going to find out who they are. And before long, she got the whole family back together. And because of that, because she followed her heart, you see, in that religion, it's also a sin to go into a tavern. In those days, if you're a woman, you don't go in either, unless you're an alcoholic. And so anyway, she followed her heart, and she found her happiness. However, something wonderful happened. You know, you never know who's watching. One day in the newspaper, the Washington paper, that was the little town they lived in, they honored three women that had made a difference in that town. And my aunt was one of them. You see, sometimes through mindfulness, things begin to creep in as to what we want to do, what we feel we have an obligation to do, not what someone or our church or someone tells us is right or wrong. We've got to listen in here. It's strange what Scott read the other day. I almost read a couple of weeks ago. I got it. There's a book in the back that has that in it. I don't know if you got that or not.
It has what in it?
What John Wesley said.
Oh.
Yeah, I almost said it a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, oh, that's Methodist. I'm not going to read that. But it's very beautiful. But we go on in life, and the people who are so dead set on what's right or wrong or what they expect in life are the ones that seem to not be able to go forward. I've been a single mom a lot of my life, and many times I got laid off. And you know, if I wanted a job, there was always a job. There was always a job. And I remember one day I really needed a job, and it was after my husband died. I thought, oh, what am I going to do? And this job came in the paper. What a concept. We would never think of that anymore. And I thought, how am I going to get that job? It sounds like it's made just for me. it was decorating and traveling and setting up decorating shops in Indiana and Iowa. And so I went and got my hair done, went out and bought a new dress, got my nails done, went out in the car and sat. And I thought, now how am I going to get this job? Now really, this is all going to go about manifesting here in a minute. And I remembered a little song that we used to sing in Sunday school in the Methodist Church. God can do anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. And I sat there and I thought, well, if God can, I can. I'm part of God. So with that affirmation, I walked in there with my head up, my shoulders back. I walked in there and I told him in it before I left, and I said, now, I like to have a good time on the job. If you don't want someone to have a good time, don't hire me. I got hired on the spot. You know, a lot of it has to do in life with what we know, what we believe about ourselves. If we think we're not worthy, that vibration goes out there and people will think, no, you're not worthy. It's the silent communicator, the silent emotions that we put out there. And believe me, in my past, I've done a lot of that. And children grieve too. It took me about 10 years to get over the grief of losing my parents. And I can remember one time, I was in 6th or 7th grade. Finally, I thought, I'm tired of being this way. I'm tired of it all being about me. Because when you can't see ahead or around, it's all about you're talking about your discontents inwardly in your thinking so much you can't stand it anymore. So I decided, okay, that's enough. I'm tired of me. And then I started looking around at someone else, at friends, and my life began to change. I began to have a good time most of the time because I changed. My attitude changed. I believe that when we want to change, the universe gives us, when we open our minds, we get ideas as to what to do to correct the situation. We're not blubbering idiots that just happen to be born. We're spiritual people with the faculties of spirit now, when we become aware of them, or maybe you just think it's your thinking before, but there are ideas that come that are answers. And it's learning to have the courage to follow that. And after so many times of following that, and the unexpected turns into something glorious, then you begin to lose your fear over life. One time, I've told this story before. One time, when my first husband died, I had absolutely no life insurance whatsoever. I was 4 months pregnant. Probably 4 and a half months pregnant because I couldn't get into anything. And my brother said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know, but you are not going to tell anybody. Do you understand? Because something will happen. I hadn't even gotten paid yet. I was working, but had taken a week off. I looked at my husband's billfold. He had been in the hospital for over a month. There were $2 in there. He had been in the hospital. That's not going to buy anything. I said, you're not going to tell anybody anything. Do you understand? I don't know what will happen, but something will happen. At 10 o'clock that morning, a caravan of cars that had people I didn't even know, but it's where he worked. They had heard of the situation. They came, started just handing me money, handing me checks, handing me just, it was a miracle. It was truly a miracle. I lived on Sarasota Drive, and the cars came down around the cul-de-sac, up, cars parked everywhere. He had been director of Action Incorporated. And I made it. It goes down to the fact what it looks like in the earth might look like. There's nothing and it's impossibility. Let me tell you, there isn't anything impossible unless you believe that. The only thing that keeps us from our good is our belief that something can. It's having the courage to look on the inside and decide to change. We had a desire to have a church at one time. And we're thinking it was impossible, and we got this beautiful place here that's gorgeous. And now we feel like it's time to move on. There are things going on. We don't know at this very moment. It might be sold. There's a thing, a verbal offer right now that we might accept. It's we've countered. And there's new things going on. There's a new way of thinking. We're talking about a spiritual center where we can actually do more. When it's not a church, legally you're allowed to do more things. And we've a group of us sat last night, and we're talking about maybe we could have drum circles for children. We could do things for children to teach them how to meditate, things like that. In the summer, I have a little summer camp or something. There are things that we can do. There's opportunities out there, not to take away, but in a different way. In a different way. Yes, we love this chapel. It's beautiful. It's been wonderful. But we know it's time, for a lot of reasons, to open a door in a new way. One of the ladies that Scott was talking about called Scott when she saw in the paper that we were having a membership meeting. And she said, "What are you guys doing? I know something's going on. You're going to sell that church. Something wonderful. It's the best thing that's ever happened. It's going to happen. What is it? I want to know the good news." And then she called me. She said, "I knew something was going to change. I felt it. I didn't know what it is." She said, "Follow your heart. Follow the door. You're not going to be led astray." The new people have fallen in love with the church. They have a congregation of 30 people. They're renting a place in a motel on Marine Road, and they just can't get it off their minds. They have come together, and they've collected quite a bit of money for a down payment. And groups of people, when it's time for a change, there's always a transition. We had a little ceremony after class last week that whoever would make an offer, they would feel the love that we leave behind and their lives be touched by our light. And that also wherever we go, because I've been through a transition before of moving, Virginia moved once, and we thought, oh, how can we give up the classroom? How can we do that? Do you know what? It was just a short amount of time. It was just the same and better. Somehow, life is not what we think it is when we first come into this, or what we've been taught normally when we come in to this earth plane. The biggest mistake man makes for their children, I think, oh, it's just your imagination. Don't pay any attention to that. You know, it's time for things to change. It's also time for us. You people are beautiful because you live what you believe in. I had a little dentist, and I'll close with this, at the school. She's graduated now. And she would tell me her belief system, which is totally different than anything traditional and a lot like ours. And I didn't tell her what I believe in. I never do with people like that because there's just a short amount of time, and I like to listen to people. And I would say, I am so in awe that you can live what your belief is at such a young age. I am so awed because she had been a teacher and went back to school because she decided that was not for her. And I said, what made you become a dentist? She said, I love teeth. Her life has totally changed. You know, she's been through hard times too, but her life has changed. She's met a fella. She's buying a house now. And she lived on very little because she was putting herself through school. But when you stop listening to the world and start listening to yourself, that's when our life can begin to change. That's when you follow and put your earplugs in if someone says, oh, it's your just imagination. You know, we all do that. I did that as a child. I used to climb up in the apple tree, and I would get philosophy. I would get things going on. And it was an apple orchard, and I used to think, oh, I'm going to be just like Johnny Appleseed. I'm getting all these wonderful things. The biggest mistake I ever made was I told the foster parents I had. Oh, that's just your imagination. That's impossible. What did you hear? Oh, that's not true. You know, it is true. Listen to those young children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I look at my children. When they were toddlers, what they liked to do, that showed me their talents right then and there. That showed me. I didn't know it then until they grew up and became professional at what they were doing when they were little bitty. But we come with this gift that's inside us that we will never find if we don't stop and look inside us and be mindful of our life. Be mindful of what we're thinking. And if we're not happy, then sometimes it can be just as happy as changing your mind to be happy. I remember one time, Art Linklater show, do you remember that? There's this little guy that was so happy, and he said, how come you're so happy? He said, I just decide to be happy. And there's a lot of truth in that. So it's all what we decide to do. God bless you.